Hello, and welcome to the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. Whether you're exploring faith, new to faith, or actively following Jesus, we're so glad you're tuning in, and we hope that these weekly messages will encourage, challenge, and inspire you. Life is not meant to be done alone, and our hope is that these messages will lead you into a new and thriving life in Christ. Now let's listen to this message from our lead pastor, Jim Comfort.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Everyone online, it's good to be in church today. Man, you guys were cranking the singing in that songs, right? Waymakers, like awesome, man. Thank you for being here. I'm Jim. It's good to be sharing this morning. Well, have you ever felt stuck in your life, on your circumstances, your career, whatever? It can be so aggravating. I was reading a story of a young lady who felt stuck in the situation she was in, especially her job. She said this, "I felt I could not leave my part-time job for financial reasons. The pay was good, the work wasn't too difficult, but there were cliques and I just didn't fit in. I tried to be the kind, fake person who would smile and pretend to laugh at their jokes, but I would just work and get out of there as soon as I could. The social atmosphere is so important," she said to me. I do like to talk to other people, but I felt so isolated in this work environment. We also had an angry boss who had issues of his own. He had a short temper. He was antisocial. Our HR department also consisted of one whole person who was lazy and, frankly, was a pervert. The human relations department lacked the human part and was more interested in doling out disciplines to staff who were late or cutting hours or catching thieves rather than looking at staff's well-being. I endured, but I felt so stuck." Well, you might say that this woman was dealt a bad hand, and that's the name of our series here. The hand that you're dealt, it's really the story about Joseph, and we introduced to him last week this ancient Old Testament Genesis famous person of young Joseph. We shared that he was the youngest of 12 brothers. His dad was kind of important, Jacob. He held the promise of God that one day God would raise up an incredible nation, the nation of Israel, through his seed. Meanwhile, his dad had these 12 sons. The youngest was Joseph, and he kind of got special treatment from his dad, Jacob. He gave him that special coat, the coat of many colors. And his brothers didn't appreciate when he started coming down and said, "Hey, last night I had these dreams. They were really incredible, that one day I'd be kind of like lifted up. I'd have rank over you. I'd have authority. You guys would be kind of bowing down to me." And they didn't like that at all. In fact, when the opportunity came, they conspired to kill young Joseph. They found this pit. They were away from dad out in the hills. And so they just threw him in this pit, leave him for dead. We'll kind of dream up a story to tell dad that he was killed by some wild animal. And before he knew it, Joseph's life was turned upside down. He found himself in this pit. Good shot, he would lose his life all alone. And last week, we discovered that when you find yourself in a pit, remember you are not alone. You are not alone. We feel alone, but God is with us. And this God, who is familiar with suffering, familiar with pain and isolation, this is the Emmanuel, the God who will never leave us nor forsake us, and the God that was with Joseph in that pit. Now, luckily, or really providentially, his brothers saw this caravan coming out of the blue, and they were traders. It's like, hey, we can make a couple bucks here. Let's not kill our brother, but let's sell him into slavery, and we can have a party with that money. And that's exactly what they do. And so now we jump over to chapter 39 in the book of Genesis. It tells us this. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officers, the captain of the guard, probably the captain of the secret service, his personal Pharaoh's guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who have taken him there. Wow. Okay. So now he's sold into slavery. At one time, he was the favored son. He had some privileges, and now he's just a grunt slave. What does that look like? He was used to being pampered. He was used to having some opportunities, and now there's no opportunities. He's totally out of control, and he's been betrayed by his brother. He's lost his dear dad, and now he's in this country. He has nobody, knows nothing, and he's forced into this forced labor. He's young. He's alone. He's probably afraid. He has no idea what a certain future is going to be. And now you could say that he's been dealt a bad hand, quite of a bad hand. As we continue in chapter 39, we'll see this phrase right here. The Lord was with Joseph that he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, this is going to be key. That word Lord can be termed differently. The writer, who was Moses, could have used the word, and God was with Joseph, but he used the word Lord. Now, in the Hebrew, there's a couple of terms that they use for God. One for God is Elohim. This means, you know, the Father God. This is the Creator. This is the transcendent, sovereign God, Elohim, God. But the writer chose to use the term the Lord, which is Adonai. This is the softer side of God. This is the one that is close to us. And you'll see a lot of times he uses the word the Lord, Adonai, that was with Joseph. And this will be key in his journey, key in his setbacks, key into the hand that he was dealt, because the Adonai would be with Joseph and see him through. We're going to discover through this series, we're already discovering that no matter how deep the pit is, no matter the setbacks in life, there is an Adonai that was with Joseph and an Adonai that is with you. So let's see what happens next. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. In other words, he got promoted. He was like, hey, you're going to be my personal attendant out of all these other slaves. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owed. I mean, he continues to get promoted and more authority. From the time he put him in charge, the household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had. And Potiphar probably had a lot. He had a large estate, a large house, fields, crops, a lot of employees, slaves. But Joseph was in charge, and he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. So, you know, Joseph, I trust you so well. You have it all, but I'll take care of my food. I don't know, maybe he was a picky eater or something. I don't know, gluten-free or something like that. I'll deal with that. So when we look at this passage, what do we learn? What do we discover? So of all the slaves, Potiphar noticed something different about Joseph. He's not like the others. There's his demeanor, his integrity. There seems to be a different moral compass. His motivation in his life is different than the other slaves. And before he knows, he's like, well, I could trust him here. And he put him in charge. And he didn't try to rip off his master or just do the bare minimum. And before he knows, he starts promoting him. And pretty soon he has some administration. He has some leadership. He has some authority. And everything started going well because Joseph and the Adonai was with Joseph. Oh, man, people in the house were getting along. There wasn't much drama. The livestock was multiplying. The crops were growing. And so Potiphar's like, man, he's in charge. I'm going to go on vacation someplace. You got this. Now, I would suggest to you this shouldn't have happened. If Joseph is halfway human or like you and me, he should be sulking, should he not? Just think about what just happened in his life. He just shows up to check on his brothers. His brothers strip him, humiliate him in front of everybody, throw him into the pit to kill him. That didn't happen, but they shipped him off to be a slave. Now he's in some stranger's house. He doesn't know anybody, forced labor from a favored son down to a common slave, he should be depressed. He should be moping. He should be crying. He should be complaining to God. If I was Joseph, I'd be like, hey, what happened to the dreams? You're kind of downloading these dreams that I was going to be someone, my career. How's that going to happen? I'm in Egypt. I'm a slave. I'll be stuck here all my life. You're not treating me well, God. Not to mention the loss of his dad in that relationship. He has no way to communicate with his dad. It's just desperate. He should have been doing, but he didn't do that. I think a lot of times, sometimes we can sabotage ourselves. Sometimes we can feel so sorry for ourselves. Before we know it, we're showing up to work and our dauber's down. We're grumpy around the house because we're feeling sorry for ourselves. And it doesn't help our cause. It doesn't help maybe people around us or even our future. We can easily just raise up the victim card and lean into anger and bitterness because of our circumstances. We feel so enslaved to these. Nothing's happening. Where's God? I don't understand. Have you ever felt stuck in your life before? Ever been stuck in your career, your job situation? Maybe financially, you just seem to can't get ahead and there's always something breaking and nothing changes. Maybe relationally. Maybe you're thinking, God, will you ever help me find that special person? Or like, what's wrong with my spouse? They we're just stuck in our relationship. Maybe there's emotional things of discouragement and sadness. Some people feel stuck in their health issues or medical issues that there seems to be no solution. It's so hard. Man, I could testify there's been several times in my life that I felt stuck. I felt like I was trying to do the right thing. I was praying and believing, and it's just like, hey, nothing happened. There wasn't any breakthrough. There wasn't any miracles. There wasn't any deliverances, and there was some enslavement, and there was problems and afflictions, and hey, God, where are you? And there was frustration, and there was discouragement, and there was doubt, and there's questions. Pretty soon, you know, you can get your head down. But not Joseph. He was stuck. He was dealt a bad hand, but it seemed to be he did well. Maybe he was practicing what we learned last week, and we're going to learn throughout this series. It's not so much about the hand that you're dealt. It's what you do with that hand. What do you do with that hand? Now, I don't know if you've caught this memo lately, but we live in a cruel, cursed world. Jesus said that if you're in the same world I am, you're going to have problems. You're going to have suffering. But take heart, I've overcome this world. So a lot of bad things can happen to good people. I mean, we can have circumstances and accidents and cancers and bad careers and bad bosses, death and setbacks. It's tough out there. This is the hand that we're dealt. But we're going to learn through Joseph's lives that what do we do with that hand? Now, that's easy to say and hard to do because a lot of times we just feel like we're out of control. We kind of have our life mapped out. This is the way my career is going to go. This is the promotions and the income it's going to have. This is how my kids and my marriage, and we're going to do this and my retirement. And before you know it, a lot of times it doesn't happen that way. There's a situation in our family. There's a crisis in our health. There's a problem in the economy. And before you know it, it affects our life. I never forget, I was talking to a young man who was inspired about his career. He went to college. He got a business degree. And he was very accomplished, disciplined. And he was ready to go. And by the time he comes out of college, there was a historical recession in the land. And he couldn't find a good job. The only job he could find was at a call center for a company. And so he was like stuck in this call center. And once in a while, he would share with me, he said, man, it's so frustrating. I got my resume. Nobody's calling me. I'm not getting promoted. It's just month after month. And you know, kind of just internally, he's like, is this God's plan for my life? Is that I'm just going to be a career call center person, right? There's not going to be this promotion, these dreams that I had in my life. Before we know it, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get enslaved to our circumstances, that person, that environment, that situation. This is all there is. The hand that we've been dealt. This came to fruition a couple years ago with our oldest son. him and his wife moved out to Montana. They kind of like do hiking and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, hey, maybe we'd like to live out here. So they did their due diligence and they got to rent an apartment or whatever stuff. And pretty soon they called us, like, you know, we think we're going to live out here. We're going to put roots down and we'd like to buy a house. We've been saving our nickels. We've doing all the responsible things. And about that time, here come the historic pandemic and all the housing prices went up. And especially in Montana, because the people on the west said, man, I'm not living here. They took their equity and they all started moving to the east into the mountain areas. And any kind of house or property all of a sudden just accelerated in price. And the bidding wars happened. And so they would find this house and think, we can afford that. They'd go and it's like, I'm sorry, somebody else outbidded you thousands of dollars. And then they, all of a sudden they were trying to bid. And then they would always get outbidden. And they're phone calling and say, hey, preacher dad, what's up with this? Didn't you tell me to trust God? Didn't you tell us to be diligent, good stewards, and all that? We have done all that, but it's not working, right? We cannot get a house, and it's months and years, and so frustrating. It seems like we can't win. His mom and I was like, I'm not sure what to tell you. We're just like, hey, I'm sorry. This didn't happen 5-6 years ago. It happened 4 years ago, right in the time. But they felt so stuck. They felt like they were enslaved and had a bad hand. And Joseph could have felt this way. Joseph could have just given up, but he didn't. And he taught us this principle that I wanted to teach you today, that Joseph would show to do your best and leave God with the rest. To do your best in your situation and leave God with the rest. We see Joseph doing this in this passage here, that he did his best. I don't know if he had a good cry back in the slaves' quarters or something, and this is not what I was looking for. I have no idea what you're doing with me, God. I don't like being a slave. I don't think anybody would, right? But somewhere, Joseph said, okay, this is my situation. I'm going to do my best. Okay, where can I help? Where can I learn? Let's go. And he went to work. I think he's had to deal with what he can control. So many times in life, we are out of control. We can't change what's happening in the Middle East. We can't change the gas prices. We can't change if we get cancer or not get cancer in our situations and our kids. But so what can we control? Well, sometimes we can control just the little things like, okay, let's get to work on time. Let's see if we can have some work ethic. Let's control our attitude. Let's control our integrity. And Joseph did this. And Potiphar noticed. Now, he didn't have the words of the Apostle Paul thousands of years later when Paul wrote this to his congregants in Colossians 3, where he says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Ooh, this is helpful here. So many times, the people we work for, our situations, we're like, man, I'm not going to give them the best. Joseph could have easily said, man, I'm a slack. I'm going to just get a minimum like all the other slaves. But he didn't. He did his best. Why? Because he wasn't working for Potiphar. He was working for his higher God. And it's the Lord that we are serving. Do we ever think about that in our circumstances, maybe at work situation or community situations? You know, what's funny is once in a while, there's a guy that I'll see this truck in my neighborhood. There's this guy, I haven't met him yet, but I kind of know where he lives, but he has his pickup truck, and he drives by, and on the back of his pickup truck, he has this quote, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. My boss is a Jewish carpenter, big and loud, and that's kind of code for Christians. I know who that is. That's Jesus, and he's making a statement. I was like, this guy loves Jesus, and he might have a bad boss and doesn't want to go to work, but he's like, I'm not working for my earthly boss. I'm participating in Colossians 3, that I am, my boss is Jesus. That's who I'm serving. And so to have a smile on his face, and I have a feeling this is what Joseph did. So I'm going to do my best. I don't like the situation, okay? But what can I learn? All right, I've never worked with maybe livestock back at home. My dad let me, you know, sit around. I don't know. I got to clean the kitchen. And before you know, he starts getting promoted. Before you know, he starts getting some leadership. Before you know, he's like a minister over this whole estate. Now, what's really cool about this is later in his life, we're going to learn that God is going to raise him up, and he's going to have some giant responsibilities. It's going to take some incredible leadership, skills, and gifting to administrate a whole country. Because what we're learning right here is a lot of times God is using your circumstances that you think in his enslavement, you think that you're stuck, that God has a master plan. And he is using this time to develop you, mature you, to later he lifts you up and he will lift up Joseph that we'll learn in this series that he's going to do the same thing in your life. He has a master plan. But emotionally, it's still hard. Emotionally, we feel that we're still stuck in these circumstances. So how do we leave the rest to God? How we just kind of let that go? There's been times in my life that I have to wrestle with this, and I'm having the word of God, and it's like, what are those promises those preachers talking about that I need to cling to in times of setbacks and enslavements, and I'm stuck? Man, I ran into a wonderful scripture in 1 Peter, tucked back in 1 Peter chapter 5, that Peter wrote this right here. Now, you have to understand that when Peter was writing this, the situation for Christians in those days was pretty dark. Jesus has been gone for 50, 60 years. The church is kind of growing, and all of a sudden the Roman Empire said, let's blame the Christians for all the bad things happening in the empire. They started coming after Christians. There was oppression. There was persecution. Peter's kind of in charge, or one of the things in charge. So he writes this general books, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, to encourage these Christians, don't give up. I know it's tough out there. And so he writes these beautiful words here, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, cast all your anxiety, or other translations, your cares upon him, because he cares for you. And I submit to you that this verse right here, there's four elements can help us leave the rest to God. Four elements right here that's going to help us leave the rest to God when we are in situations that we felt like we have a bad hand. Now, I would encourage you to take note of this. Take a picture of it, highlight it, remember it, memorize it, because it's a nugget that we can hang on to when we feel like we're in a bad situation. First thing, he talked about humble yourselves. Human nature is that we want to be in control. Can I get an amen, right? And we want to control our family, our career, our health, blah, 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 blah. And next thing we know, we've realized, man, we're not in control. Somebody sold the company, right? Or the doctors gave us a diagnosis, or our stock market tanked, or something like that. We're not in control. And a lot of times we have to come to that point where to release it is to humble ourselves. A lot of times we are fighting God because we want to be boss. We want to be God and set all the situations. And God's like, I'm God, not you. And this takes a part of bending. This takes a posture of humility. In fact, the word humble, it really means to bow. And to get on our knees takes humility. It's a point of surrendering or breaking to say, God, you are in control. I release this. I humble myself before you. And look what he says, he tacks on there. Therefore, under God's mighty hand. This is the Elohim, the God Almighty, who is sovereign, who has the master plan. And when we humble ourselves, we're just not letting it go to anybody. It's the mighty God. And because God has a long-term plan, he knows what's happening in the next 5 years. He knows what's happening in your life in 10 years and in 50 years. And in this time, many times the Elohim is refining us, is developing us, and he needs us to trust him as the mighty God, to humble ourselves. Now, if you look at successful people, almost all of them would testify that there were times in their life that there was a lot of failures, there was a lot of problems. And in those failures and those setbacks is where they built resilience. This is where they were developed and mature. We just see their success. And this is where Peter's talking. If we were willing to humble ourselves and say, okay, you're in control, not me. I'm going to trust this mighty hand. God will lift us up. See, I think a lot of times we limit ourselves because we're not willing to humble ourselves with God. We're always fighting God. We're always angry at God. And we limit ourselves what God wants to do in our life. In fact, I think if Joseph would have said, man, you have screwed me over. I thought you gave me a dream. I was going here, and all of a sudden, you allowed my brothers to betray me, almost killed me. You allowed me to go in slavery. Now I'm forced to be in this house. I don't even know. I don't even like it. And God, I'm giving up on you. You don't have a dream of me. And Joseph would have sabotaged and missed the plan and the amazing miracles and power that he was going to discover later in his life. How many of us limit God because we're not willing to humble ourselves under his mighty hand? Now, the second part of this that helps us kind of release the rest to him, that in due time, he may lift you up. That's key, in due time. Here we go again. It's our time, okay? We want to move here, and we're going to retire then, and our kids are going to do this. No, it's in his time that he will lift us up. If we're willing to humble ourselves, now this is going to take some faith. This is going to take some trust. It's not that easy. Now remember, Joseph still had that dream. God gave him those dreams to say, yes, you will be in charge one day. I'm going to use you in an incredible way. But right now, I need you to trust me. And then in my timing, and we're going to see in this series, that in God's timing, there is some lifting. There is some incredible promotions and some breakthroughs in his life. So for now, Joseph is doing his best where he's at, and leaving God the rest. The third element in the scripture to help leave God the rest is number three here, cast all your anxiety on him. Now, the word cast means what it says. We are actually throwing our cares, our worries, our stress. I give it to you. I let it go. Now, in the old days, we used to have altars in front of the church, right? And ministers would say, we're going to have a prayer time. You're welcome. Come down and pray. And people would come and kneel. It's that bowing again. And they would release and they would pray. And there might be some tears. It's casting our worries. It's my kids. It's my grandkids. It's my job. It's my spouse. It's my unknown. I give this all to you. It's kind of like that Frozen, you know, movie. Let it go, right? This is what he's talking about, cast. Let it all go. And God is okay if we just get real and raw with him. He is the Adonai. He cares. In fact, when people's like, well, Pastor, I'm angry with God. This is not working out. I didn't appreciate it. Is it okay? I'm like, man, read the Bible. If you go back in the Psalms, half the Psalms is people just emoting. They're just emoting. Some of them are happy. Sing praises to God. Clap your hands. The other times, man, I'm upset with God. I don't know where he is and what's happening. For instance, you take, for instance, an example. Psalm 69. Here's just a short example. David's emoting. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Have you ever felt like your circumstances are up to your neck? Gets even worse. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I'm drowning here, God. Do you understand? I'm calling, I'm crying out to you. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me, the sadness, the sorrow. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. God, I pleaded, I prayed. I don't even know how to pray anymore. You ever been there? My eyes fail looking for God. This is real. This is part of this casting. God, I can't carry it anymore. I can't handle it. I'm just giving it to you. I don't know, I believe Joseph somewhere, privately somewhere, gave it up to God. I'm sure that he was mourning. I'm sure he's grieving his dad, his dreams, his hope, his control. He's just giving it all over to God. And then we come to that last part when he says that he cares for you. Now, friends, sometimes we have a hard time believing this. And I got to remind myself, the things that God says in the Bible is either a fairy tale or it's the truth. Or God lies or he doesn't lie. And God doesn't lie. And when he says he cares for you, that is the truth. Well, a lot of times you say, well, he cares for the person sitting next to me or cares for you, the preacher guy, or somebody better. He cares for you. He didn't come into this world and die for just a few people. He came for everyone because he loves everyone. He believes in you. He created you before you even born. He knew you. He had a plan for you. He cares for you. That's who we can cast our cares upon him. Emotionally, we don't feel that sometimes. And that's where we have to claim by faith that he cares for me. He cares for me. Say that 8 times. Now remember, just because you're going through a sorrowful time, just because you're going through a difficult time, doesn't mean that God is upset with you. doesn't mean that God is punishing you and you've done something wrong. Yes, in the Bible says that God so loves us sometimes that he allows us to get us through some testing times. Maybe he does want us to wake up. Maybe he's been waiting for us to humble ourselves before him so he can lift us up in his due time instead of us just forcing our life and our plans. These are the times that God wants to refine us. It's in the valleys that we scrape in the clouds. It's in my valleys when I learned about 1 Peter, this promise, this scripture right here. Now, the devil loves to pile on and say, that's why you're suffering. It's because God doesn't like you. Yep, last week he saw you do that thing. You used that word, you did that thing, and he's punishing you, right? He doesn't like you. And we just eat those voices up, and that's a lie. Here's the truth. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. He likes you. I have a feeling maybe that when Peter was writing these scriptures in 1 Peter, maybe he was reading the Torah in Genesis. Maybe he was reading again the story of Joseph because there was a lot of persecution and afflictions going on in his people's lives. And it's like, well, how did Joseph do that? And he started looking at Joseph that, man, he showed up for his job while he's in enslavement. He just lost his family. He almost died. He's in a foreign country. He doesn't know anybody. And yet he's showing up doing his best. He's releasing the rest. And maybe he was inspired through God's Holy Spirit to write these scriptures. And we notice that Joseph did these. He humbled himself. Said, God, I don't like being a slave, but I'm willing to do my best. I'm going to come under your time. And trust you? Is this what Potiphar saw of all the slaves? He's like, man, this guy seems to have integrity. He's not grumbling. He's not raising up the victim card. He's showing up, doing his very best. In fact, I can trust him. I'm promoting him. Everybody else is mad and ripping me off. I like this kid. And he seems to like me. He shouldn't like me. And so next thing you know, he's over everything. There was something different. So Joseph teaches us today, and we can take this home today, that even though we might have been dealt a bad hand, we're in a bad situation, that we can do our best and leave God with the rest. Maybe this applies to you. Maybe right now in your situation, you feel like you're stuck. Maybe you're like, God, my spouse is just not doing anything, just stuck in our marriage. Maybe you feel like your kids, you can't tell them anything. Not sure how to handle it, you're stuck. Maybe your own health, the doctors are not sure what's happening. Maybe in your job or your career. But could it be that God's like, yes, I know you're stuck. I know that the hand you're dealt is not very favorable, but in this time, I want you to get close to me. In this time, I want you to go deeper spiritually. In this time, I want you to come to the point of just humbling yourself and trusting me with my timing and casting all your cares on me. So there's two things you can do with this. Two things. One is take some time to humble yourself and pray to God. Situations, I feel like I'm enslaved, okay? All right, we're going to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand and trust him. Second thing is to cast your care. Second thing is to show up and do your best. All right, tomorrow I got to go to work. I'm really not a fan of those people and that boss and the salary that I get, but I'm going to put a smile on my face and I'm going to work hard because I'm not working for the people. I'm not working for the paycheck. I'm working for God. I'm going to do my best. I remember a time in my life, it was back in the 90s, where I was really kind of discouraged. I felt like I was stuck. I felt like God kind of forgot about me. I felt like God was moving on and he wasn't listening. It seems like I couldn't hear from him. He was just silent. And God, I was being preacher boy and loving my family, loving you. And what gives with this? Because you just seemed like you drifted away and forgot about me. I felt like I was like Joseph in enslavement of my situation, my circumstances. So we were invited to this church service and we weren't in charge to sit there and sing. So I showed up and privately, I was struggling. I was discouraged. I didn't know what was going on. So people get up there, let's all stand and sing. We're singing the songs, and we come to the song that we sang a lot in the 90s called "You Are My All in All." And it goes like this. You are my strength when I'm weak. Privately, I was like, man, I'm feeling really weak. You are my treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. And when we sang that phrase right there, to give up, I'd be a fool, the Adonai, Lord, spoke to me. Spoke to me. Because I felt like giving up. And the Adonai said, Jim, you'd be a fool if you gave up. Because Jim, I still have a plan for your life. I love you, I believe in you, and you're about to throw it away because you're feeling sorry for yourself. Don't give up. He would ask me, am I still your all in all? Goes on. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I'm dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Right there in that service, I privately had to renew my love for God. But more importantly, God was renewing his love in me. Don't be a fool. Don't give up. In due time, God would lift me up. In due time, circumstances would change. In due time, God would be faithful. And the same for you. You might feel like you're giving up. You might feel like you're in a slave situation that nothing's changing. You can't see the future and it's not working out. What does God say? Please do your best and leave me with the rest. This morning, I'm going to give us just a minute or two to just kind of practice this, okay? So would you mind kind of just giving God some time this morning by bowing your head, closing your eyes? The Adonai loves you. And maybe what you been missing is that you've been trying to stay in control. Your job, your family situations, your health situation, your financial situations. And God's asking you to humble yourself, to bow, to submit, to release under his good, mighty hand. He has your situation under control just like he did Joseph. He's asking us to cast your cares. Would you just cast your worry? I don't know what you're worried about. The thing that you can't control, to cast all your cares and receive the promise and the fact today that he does care about you. He's playing the long game with you. He's playing the long game with your family. He's playing the long game with your soul and your circumstances. Don't give up. Do not give up. Joseph would not give up, even though it looked dark in this period. And eventually, the long game, God would lift him up. And we're going to learn about that. Some breakthroughs and some miracles. Oh, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you putting up with our feeling sorry for ourselves. Thank you for helping us through all our emotions, our questions, our doubts, our sorrows, our frustrations, our bitterness, God. Help us today as we go that we'll do our very best around our families, around our employers. Help us to trust you with what we can't control. And our future and our circumstances, just like Joseph. We need you, and we're going to believe this by your name and the power of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. If you're newer here at Faithbrook, we'd love the opportunity to connect with you and hear your story. To connect beyond listening today, we'd love for you to join us in person. Or if you would please go to faithbrook.church/connect, fill out that form, and one of our staff will reach out to you soon. God bless and have a great day.